Our in-depth guest today is Deborah Gwartney, author of the new memoir, I Am Stranger Here Myself, from University of New Mexico Press. Deborah teaches in the writing program at Pacific University in Forest Grove and is the author of Live Through This, A Mother's Memoir of Runaway Daughters and Reclaimed Love, which was a finalist for the 2009 National Book Critics Circle Award, the Pacific Northwest Booksellers Award, and the Oregon Book Award. I'm a Stranger Here Myself won the 2018 River Teeth Literary Nonfiction Prize and gets its official release on March 15th. Deborah, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Deborah, as mentioned in the intro, your first book was the memoir Live Through This, and that's a mother's memoir of runaway daughters and reclaimed love.
Mm-hmm.
It came directly from your own experience when you first moved to Oregon with your four young daughters.
That's right.
And it must have been a difficult book to write. You revealed so much about yourself and your family, and the story itself reads almost like a fictional thriller. Oh. How did that prepare you for writing I'm a Stranger Here Myself?
Oh, gosh, thank you for that question. Well, I've been studying memoir for 25 years probably and teaching it. And I feel like I'm always learning about what it is and what it isn't. And in my own mind, you know, anybody who talks about memoir will dispute where I stand perhaps, but I have my own sense of what this genre is. And I think for me, the mainstay of the genre is self-implication, you know, really looking at the self and understanding your own role in the dynamic. And so that was my main goal in Live Through This, was to look at that relationship I had with my teenage daughters and try to understand what my role in the dynamic was for those troubled years. So yes, I took that to the next project, which I began shortly after that book was published. This has been a long time in the making. And I knew that I was going to do a little genre busting here because I was going to do this historical part and then my own memoir part. But I still had the same kind of idea. What's in it for me? How can I look at myself? How can I make this a self-exploration rather than a blame, you know, blaming others or excoriating others? I really wanted to discover something about my own sensibility and my own way in the world, just like I did with Live Through This. And, you know, the genre of memoir is changing as the years go by. Thank goodness it should. And so people are playing with these different genres. A book that was hugely influential for me was H's for Hawk. And after I read that book by Helen MacDonald, I thought, oh, I see how I can maybe combine these strands in a way that was kind of vexing for me before, but she was helpful, and many other books I could mention. But
well, I don't know that one. Mm-hmm. It's for Hawk. Does that combine a memoir with also historical accounts?
It does. Or? It does. She writes about her father's death and then raising a goshawk in her apartment in London, which is curious and funny and delightful. And then she's very fascinated with the writer T.H. White. So he gets a strand and then the hawk gets a strand and she just combines them beautifully.
Now let's get to the book at hand. It starts with a trip you made back to your hometown of Salmon, Idaho.
That's right.
And I'll quote from the book, "The town I've driven away from, Salmon, is where generations of my family lived from those early days until now, and it's also my birthplace. And I've just spent 2 days there because my grandfather died. 2 days because I couldn't manage any longer, though I still consider the town my Elysium." Can you tell us what Salmon and the state of Idaho mean? Mm-hmm. Explain a little of that love-hate relationship. That's what I got from that opening section.
Well, thank you. My parents were very young, which is part of the book. Part of the theme of the book is very young parents
and their relationship.
And so I was raised hugely by my grandparents, both sets, and then my great grandparents. I was one of those lucky kids that could walk out the door and go to any relative's house, basically in Salmon, Idaho. I didn't live there for very long. We lived in Boise, but my parents were so young that they were always shipping us back, which was great. I'm so thankful for that now. And I adored Salmon. It was my place to feel very safe and secure. And I knew I'd be cared for, but I wasn't of there, you know, and I was always a little bit of the stranger and the visitor. And in fact, my grandfather owned the newspaper, the Recorder Herald. And so every time I came, there'd be a little notice in the paper that I was coming to visit my grandparents.
Yes. Well, that's newsworthy.
Yeah, it was
at the time. Is that paper still around?
I still get it, matter of fact. Yes, the Recorder Herald. So I was very much in love with the place. I never had a hate relationship with it. What I hated was the sense that I couldn't just step in and fully belong in Salmon, Idaho. And then I think as the years went on, I idealized that time in my childhood where I felt so safe and protected, and Salmon became this kind of nugget of this golden glow that I always wanted but never felt like I had. So
That's the Elysium part.
And also, I think one thing that drove the writing of this book was that I think we all yearn so much to belong somewhere. And in late middle age, I thought, why do I still have this yearning to belong? I just want to know there's a place for me and I can go there and be fully accepted. And, that's an interior thing, it turns out. But I think it's really been helpful for me to read so much about Narcissa Whitman and how she never belonged, and then think about my own yearning to belong and kind of just let that play around in my mind.
Now let's talk about Narcissa.
Yes.
As we mentioned, unlike the first memoir, this book has a foundation in history, mm-hmm. and this account of the Whitmans in Walla Walla. She was killed in what's now known as the Whitman Massacre,
right?
Which took place near Walla Walla in mm-hmm. 1847. Mm-hmm. What got you interested in Narcissa's story? Mm-hmm. There's a book that you pick up from your late grandmother mm-hmm. that was the spark.
That was the spark, right. Well, I hope this makes sense, because I think what I realized about Narcissa Whitman is that I was very unsettled in myself about my relationship with the West, especially Idaho, and how I loved it, loved the people there, but never felt like I belonged, and also had some really difference of opinions about the politics and some of the policies, and I was leaning left and they all lean right, and I was feeling that polarization, which has now become so acute under the current administration. But it's been around for a long, long time. And so when I picked up the book and read it, I didn't consciously think this, but later I realized that I liked her as my nemesis. I thought, oh, here's someone who came and just made all the wrong decisions. And I get to just, demean and hate her. And then so she was kind of set up to be my enemy. And then, but what happened as I read and read and read about her and visited the mission many times is that she became little by little more human to me. And the more complicated her character became in my mind, the more complicated my relationship to my own place became. And so she taught me a lot. I still think she made terrible mistakes, but she was a very vulnerable woman who was taken advantage of. And I have huge sympathy for her, actually.
Yeah, you mentioned in the book in that first section that you wanted to read the biography, again, from your late grandmother's collection, mm-hmm. so you could reject a woman you already pegged as odious.
Yes.
But I guess in your research, you felt differently. There was much more to the story.
Yeah, which is what the book is about, my changing relationship
exactly.
with her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned, and I relate to this because I went to school in New York.
Oh.
And in fourth grade, we had New York history, and we learned that New York was the greatest city in the world,
of
which
course.
I guess is debatable. But you were taught the story of the Whitman Massacre in fourth grade.
Yes.
Were you in Salmon at that time or Boise?
No, I was in Boise at that time. And I was also taught, by the way, that Idaho was the best place on the planet Earth. So we had some difference of
yes, we did. I thought
tutelage
it was New
going
York,
on, yes.
Up until about a week ago.
Right, yes.
But you were taught a very different story about Narcissa at the time.
And, oh, absolutely. She was the angel of mercy is how she's always been described.
And the Cayuse were the villains, probably.
Yeah, bloodthirsty villains, right. And there was, I still think to this day the textbooks lean in the Whitman's direction. They, I hope as time goes on that even more is disclosed about this early conflict. And, they both sides were in the muck with each other. They weren't going to get out.
Now, as we mentioned, the new book's a memoir, but mm-hmm. it interweaves your own story and that of your family with mm-hmm. the historical account of Narcissa.
Yes.
How'd you go about, after that first book, the biography you read from your grandmother's collection, how'd you go about doing the research? And I was going to ask you, but you already answered about the guides and models. So H mm-hmm. is for Hawk was one of your guidelines there.
Yes. Very helpful. I was quite influenced recently by the Laura Ingalls Wilder biography by Carolyn Fraser. She won the Pulitzer Prize for that
Little
book.
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. Well, the book is called Prairie Fire, and it's mm-hmm. really about the real story of the of that family, which is much different than the Little House on the Prairie books. But that helped me a lot, too, to see how she cast history against this mythology that Laura Ingalls Wilder created. So, and I was really interested in that. I wanted to break down the mythology of the West a little bit, of the mythology of the frontier, and see what was underneath that. So that book was very helpful. Well, I read all the survivors' journals, and the University of Oregon Library has a bunch of those. The Whitman archives are full of those.
And then in Walla Walla, Whitman College has some archives you visited?
Yes. I visited those archives. The Oregon Historical Society was hugely helpful. And then I had a marvelous fellowship to go live in Worcester, I hope I said that right, Massachusetts, for a month. And I lived at the American Antiquarian Society Library. It's the repository for all of American history pre-1860. And boy, they had resources that blew my mind. And that was probably the most helpful to me, because anything I asked for, they would do their best to get it for me. And I just stayed there for a month and read all the transcripts from the trial when the Cayuse chiefs were hung. I read all those transcripts. I read all the early Oregon Territory documents. And then there were a lot of hearings after the people were killed at Wailapu, the mission. And so I got to see all those original documents, and I formed a lot of ideas from that.
And I should mention, too, that there's actually some archives at your university, Pacific University, right? Including a strand of Narcissa Whitman's hair.
Yeah, they've got some of her hair. Yeah. her hair is all over the darn place.
In Whitman, too.
Yes,
Whitman
College, and Oregon Historical Society has an interesting piece of her hair. And even Yale University has her hair. I don't know how it got there, but they have it.
Now, another thing you mentioned in that the book's last section, that's called Memento Mori, Memories of the Dead, or things that remind us of death. Mm-hmm. You tell about your visit to the Whitman Cellars Winery, which is no longer in Walla Walla.
Right.
And they bottled a blend called Narcissa Red.
Yes.
And you mentioned, I couldn't look up their website because as we talked before the interview, it's now a Chinese soft porn site or something.
Right.
But the write-up on their website at the time said the Whitmans brought disease to the Cayuse, and the Cayuse had to destroy the mission as a matter of survival. And all of a sudden you found yourself as what you say, quote, a member of the Narcissa defense team.
Yeah. Right. Because, I mean, that's... It's just a little off in how they described it. The Cayuse did get very sick, and that it's one of the saddest parts of the story is how Native people were. They just didn't have the immunity to deal with these pathogens that were coming just steadily on the wagon trains. While white children did, you know, if their great grandparents had that strain of measles and they were a little bit protected, you know, I don't know the sciences. Like others do, but I know that the Native people had no protection. And so the Cayuse band that lived closest to the Whitman, some books I read said that every single child died. At least, you know, 80% of the children died. They just couldn't withstand all this illness. But the Whitmans did not bring that that illness to them.
The
wagon trains, too,
right,
he did,
exactly.
Yeah. And I think the Cayuse were angry about many things, among them the illness. But they didn't have to kill them for their own survival. That's just not true.
Now, Deborah, you'll be reading at Broadway Books in Northeast Portland Monday, March 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Where can listeners find out more about your upcoming events? And you have a few in our area in Oregon and the surrounding states and the new book.
Well, they can find out about them on my website, which is deborahgwartney.com. That's the best place. I'm on Facebook. I have an author page on Facebook, which also lists everything. I'm excited to read at Broadway Books. And in fact, my dear friend Kathleen Holt, who's the editor of Oregon Humanities Magazine, she's going to talk with me and we're going to discuss the book. So it won't be just a straight reading. I think it's fun when there's a discussion like we're having today.
And you'll be signing books too.
I will, yes.
Well, Deborah, thanks so much for joining us at
KVU.
We've been talking with Deborah Gwartney, author of the new memoir, I Am a Stranger Here Myself, from University of New Mexico Press. Deborah will be reading and signing books at Broadway Books in Northeast Portland. That's Monday, March 18th at 7 o'clock. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.